Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
I think Sam Levitt was actually one of those people who were like, oh, I want to see greatness. I want to see the three-peats. Did not happen, and I still love
Absolutely.
It. Still
I would have loved it.
I know you would have, and I'm glad that it didn't happen, because I wouldn't be able to hear about how great Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid are
So instead you wanted the Eagles to become the clear NFC powerhouse, making your 49ers
No, I didn't, but it was nice to see the
49ers run is kind of over.
Don't start with
me. It's over, Scraby.
They're just getting Brock Purdy into negotiations. Apparently, he's not even looking to be the highest paid quarterback in the NFL, which is amazing to me because he is, I guess he could make something like $65 million a year, but he's not going to. But anyway, we'll talk more about that another day. I got a text in the break, Sam, about what our name should be, and our show name, and I don't like this one, and my friend knows I don't like this. I immediately shot it down, but people like to put our name together, and so they said the Scrammy Show, and I don't like the name Scrammy Show at all. So keep coming up with stuff, Ron. I don't like the Scrammy Show. It makes me think of something else. I don't know.
What about Samfew?
No, that
like
is even
Sam
worse.
And Matthew, or Sat.
Scrammy feels even worse. Scrat. No, it needs to be Sammy and Scrammy.
Skevit.
No, we've already found the name
Larrabee.
Of the show. No, these are all terrible names. These are all awful names. Scraby, or Sammy and Scraby is the name of the show. All right, let's get back to Padres baseball, Sam. Jackson Merrill with Ben and Woods. He's hilarious. He's awesome. My question: will the fans be able to still love him if he struggles this year? I don't think he's going to struggle, but there is that thing called the sophomore slump. And if he does struggle, I want the fans to bring the same energy they do when he's great for when he's struggling.
I think the fans will love him regardless because of what he did last year. I also don't expect Jackson to struggle. And look, I think with every player, and Jackson talked about this today, as you heard in the interview at the bottom of the hour, I think with every player, you go through struggles, you go through, you know, peaks and valleys. That's what happens in baseball. And the one thing that Jackson, well, not the one thing, but one of many things that Jackson did so incredibly well in his rookie season is that he did not allow slumps to become extended bad stretches. To me, that was one of the more impressive aspects of his season. When Jackson went into a slump, when he had a 2 for 20, a 3 for 24, whatever it might be, those stretches typically lasted a week.
Yeah.
And then he was back to being the same Jackson Merrill we saw really all year. It was one of the more impressive things I think about his season is that he never allowed any slump to really become an extended bad stretch. So I don't expect it. We'll see what this year holds. If I know Jackson, his talent level, his work ethic, I mean, I'd be willing to bet he has an equal to better year in year two. But look, it's a game of adjustments, right? And now there's a full season of tape out on Jackson, and pitchers will adjust to him, and now it's going to be his job to adjust back to the league. Once that happens, by the way, that happened last year, I'm sure, as he continued to play. So
yeah.
I don't expect it. Even, let's say, hypothetical world, Jackson got off to a rough start. I don't think the fans are going to turn on him. I don't think they're turning on Jackson at any point this year. But look, it's a game of ups and downs. It's a game where you struggle at times. And you hope whatever struggles that Jackson has, and those struggles are inevitable. Like, you're not going to stay scorching hot all year.
Of course.
There is going to be, even if it's only for a few days, there is going to be a stretch of games where you don't play well, where you take an over, you know, for 3-4 days, where you have a bad couple of weeks. But again, to me, one of the really impressive parts of Jackson's rookie season was the fact that he never allowed a slump to become a really extended stretch. And if he can do that again, that's a pretty good recipe for having a pretty good second year. So I'm excited about it, and I wouldn't worry about the fan support for Jackson. I think Jackson's got the fans in his pocket after what he did last year.
I mean, he should. It was incredible. What was I going to say about Jackson Merrill? It just left my head as soon as I was about to say it. Oh, the best quality to me about Jackson Merrill is that he gets it. He understands it at a really young age. The whole thing of being a major leaguer and working on your game every single year. The mindset of coming and saying, I have to make this team. When you're coming off of a rookie of the year season that you didn't get rookie of the year. It's incredible to me that he even thinks that way.
Yeah, I think for Jackson, I think number one, it's genuine. I think number two, he's still young enough where he can do this, you know, yes. Kind of show up again and say, hey, I'm just trying to make the team again.
Yeah.
Even though we all understand
that 5 years from now, when he's a perennial all-star, he
right now, right. When he's 25, 26, is he going to be talking like this after spending 4 or 5 years in the league? Probably not. But I think for now, I think it's probably the right thing for Jackson to do is just stay within himself. And be the guy he's been since the moment he arrived at spring training last year. And if I'm him, obviously you're always adjusting. Obviously you're always tinkering. But I really wouldn't change a thing about him, about the way he plays the game, about his approach, about his defense. He is just fine the way he is. So I think when you're talking about a 21 to you know, into turning 22-year-old, young man, I think for now it's perfectly okay for him to truly have that mentality and try to keep things as simple as possible, right? And,
yeah.
And to me, that again, when we talk, there are so many things that we've talked at length about it over the course of the last year. There were so many impressive things about Jackson and his season, and in addition to not allowing any stretch to become an extended slump. He just kept things really simple. Like, there's a simplicity to his game. There's a simplicity to his stance. He keeps it simple. He keeps the main thing the main thing, if you will. So if I'm Jackson, I'm doing exactly what I did a year ago. I'm not changing a thing. And, yes, when he's 5, 6 years in, I don't know that he's going to show up saying, I'm trying to make the team. That'll probably wear off over time.
It probably
will. I think year two for a 21-year-old, that's just fine.
All right, more show names. Mammy? No, we're not going to go with Mammy. Sammy and Matt.
How about Scrubammy?
Scrubammy? No, that takes more explanation than it does to even say it. Keep coming up with the names, people. We'll keep replying to them if we can. But here it's Daily Gambit. We have a UCSD game tonight. Also, an NL Cy Young early odds look. Let's go.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit is our daily sports betting segment here on Gwen and Chris. Please, everybody, gamble responsibly. Tonight, UCSD is playing Cal State Northridge. UCSD, a 5.5-point favorite, but listen to these team stats, Sam, for the Tritons and Northridge. Their average points this year, both of them, 80.5 points. Points against, UCSD is a little bit better. They only give up 62 versus Northridge is 71. Their field goal percent, 46.9 for the Tritons, 46.8 for Northridge. Rebounding is a little bit different. Northridge has the advantage there. Assists are one assist apart, 15.6 to 16.7. Anyway, the thing is, this game is going to be very evenly matched. The Tritons have won 9 in a row. Northridge has won 7 in a row. Sam, I'm going to bet on the Tritons to win and cover. What do you say?
Well, I know somebody that works at Cal State Northridge.
Oh,
so
is that right?
I'm going to pick Cal State Northridge to cover.
Okay.
But UCSD to win the game.
Okay. I'm fine with that. I mean, 5.5 points.
As you know, during
points.
The Daily Gambit, my picks tend to be very non-scientific. We're looking for reasons to lean one way or another. And guess what? On Tuesday, what did I do?
4-0.
I did just that, and I was 4-0.
4-0. All right, let's go to another bet from tonight. This comes from BetQL. Anthony Edwards at the Lakers. Over or under 41.5 points plus rebounds plus assists. Now, Anthony Edwards scores a ton. He scores maybe 28 to 30 a game. I don't know his exact average, but do you think that he will combine for over or under 41.5 points, rebounds, assists?
Wow, that's a high number, because even if you score, let's say you score
25, 5, and 5, 25, that's only 40.
You would need a combined 17 assists and rebounds. You know, the Laker defense has been a lot better lately under J.J. Redick. I'm going to go under.
Okay.
I'm going under. That's very high. Now, if Ant scores, well, you know what?
He could score 35.
If he scores 30-something, then it becomes a lot easier. To me, the point number is the big thing. You know, how much of the 41.5 can he get just via points? But you know what? I'll take the probability that Anthony Edwards scores under 30 points, and then that makes it kind of tough.
It will make it really tough.
Now, he can do it, certainly, but I think the probability is that he doesn't. So, under.
All right, I'm going to go over, because anytime I bet with the Lakers, it always ends up hurting me in the end because I lose. I found this BetQL bet, 5-star bet for the first half. It's extremely random, but they're saying to bet the Charlotte Hornets +6 in the first half against the Dallas Mavericks. Would you make this bet, Sam?
You can bet this just the first half?
Oh, yeah. You could bet by quarter. You could bet. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll take that. Dallas.
Yeah, you'll take Charlotte.
Is without Anthony Davis. Those guys still hurt. You know, love me some LaMelo Ball.
Yeah,
so
he's great.
Give me Charlotte to cover. I mean, that's a pretty high number.
Plus six for the first half. Yeah, they're thinking they're going to be down by that much. I don't think so. I'm going Charlotte.
I would think that most NBA games, I would think that over 50% of NBA games are within 6 points at the half.
I'm going to have to try and find that stat, because that would be wild. I'd never even thought about it.
I don't know where you'd find it, but
someone's got it. All right, NL Cy Young futures, Sam. We all know who's number one in this list. Paul Skeens, +300. I am reserved.
Wow, he's an overwhelming favorite.
Yeah, because Zach Wheeler's +750. Now, I should remind everyone, as Chris usually says, this is not what they think is going to happen. It's what people are betting. So more people are betting on Paul Skeens than anyone else.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But Paul Skeens +300, Zach Wheeler +750. Where's Dylan C? Oh, Dylan C, 1,600. Michael King, 2,200. But you got Chris Sale above them. Corbin Burns above them. Tyler Glasnow, Spencer Strider. Paul Skeens, I'm not going to be as mean to him this year because he's not facing Jackson Merrill for any awards. He's going to be good. I just want to see it through a whole season. I think that's fair.
Yeah. So what are we picking
here? We're not really picking anything. We're just discussing the odds. Do you think that this would be a good bet? Dylan C said, how about this?
I'll tell you where I see really good value.
Okay,
really good value. I think Michael King is exceptional value.
+2,200. Yeah.
I'm telling you, I think Michael King is going to be a top three Cy Young finisher this year.
Okay.
I think he's going to be one of the best pitchers in baseball. So I think there's great value there. I think Sandy Alcantara, great value there. I mean, that's just people forgetting how good Sandy is.
He's
arguably the best pitcher. He was arguably the best pitcher in the game when he was healthy.
Yeah. He hit 99 the other day in his start.
That's great value. Although I don't know if he's going to be on any kind of innings limit. I don't think so, because he's already back and kind of, you know, going full force. I just don't know if he's going to throw 200 innings.
Got Logan Webb, Freddy Peralta, Zach Gallen.
Yeah, Logan Webb's really good.
Freddy Peralta,
Yeah, I mean, look, Blake Snell's always going to be an interesting one because his ceiling is so high.
Plus 1,000 for Blake Snell.
You know, Cease obviously has all the ability in the world. Byrne, it's a lot of great picks here.
I like what you're saying, though, because Michael King, you bet $100 on Michael King, plus 2,200. If he wins the Cy Young, you win $2,200. I like that value. That's a great pick.
Yeah, I think that, again, King has good value. I think Alcantara has great value. I don't see Peralta, Gallen, Gray, Imanaga winning a Cy Young. Webb, Senga's always hurt.
Spencer Strider.
Yamamoto's interesting. Yamamoto's interesting, but I don't know that I can bet on him over a full season yet.
Tyler Glass, another one.
Yeah, I'd say, again, great point. I mean, he's got to prove he can stay healthy for 6 months, and that just hasn't happened. Strider's coming off Tommy John.
Yeah.
You know, Green is good. But, you know, isn't always consistent. I look at King and Alcantara and I say those guys are really, 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 really good.
Yes.
Like, really good. And I think those are really good value bets if you can make them.
All right. You heard it. Sammy Leavitt going with Sandy Alcantara.
So, Burns. But Burns is a good one, too. Corbin Burns is really good. So if you bet $100 on Corbin Burns and he wins the Cy Young, you get $1,200.
Correct. That's how these, that's how
I mean, that's...
Work.
Corbin Burns is elite.
Even though he struggled down the stretch last year at the Orioles?
I don't care about
that. I love it when baseball people are like, don't bring up anything from last year. He's going to be fine.
Yeah, Snell's interesting because the ceiling is just so high. Like, at his peak, he's so unbelievable. But you could also tell
me
that.
He's also really
bad
at times.
Yeah, well, you could also tell me that for 4 months. You know, for 3-4 months, he's like, you know, walking tons of guys and throwing a million pitches. You could tell me that, and that it's hard to win a Cy Young that way. But, you know, the thing is with Snell, and we saw it in 23, you know, he can have a pretty good stretch where he's doing that and then all of a sudden be so good for so long and so dominant that he goes and wins a Cy Young. So he's a hard one to
he's
to
definitely
kind of
figure a hard
out
one to
times.
Figure out.
Yeah.
Okay, that is it for the Daily Gambit. We are going to go to break. Sammy Lev spoke with Alec Jacob earlier yesterday, so we're going to hear from that. Alec Jacob, reliever for the Padres. Sam caught up with him in the clubhouse. We'll hear about that. And then a little bit of Michael King a little bit later. So here's some traffic, and then Alec Jacob on the other side. This hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Robert Half. 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. Robert Half is here to help. Our recruiting professionals utilize an award-winning AI to connect businesses with highly skilled talent. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com/talent today. We've been getting a lot of different names out there, Sam, for our fake show that we are trying to create a name for. I'm just going to always stick with Sammy and Scraby, but we have Sam Scrabistan, which is kind of clever and kind of funny at the same time. Scravit Show is interesting. The Single Swipers Show is interesting. Clayton also says Sammy and Scraby's dating advice
show. How about
show?
This? No, I got it. You ready?
What?
The Sam Leavitt Show featuring Matt Scraby.
Not into it. Not into it. I don't like to be featured.
Or just the Sam Leavitt Show.
I mean, you are the bigger name, so I would be fine with that. I would be riding your coattails a little bit. You know, your TikTok nation that you have going on. How about if it was... What if it was called... Never mind. I'm not going to come up with something on the air right now because it's just going to be bad. Sam... He talked to Alec Jacob yesterday in the clubhouse, and Alec Jacob is a reliever for the Padres, as we all know, and he's got an interesting path. Sam, you want to say anything before we get into it, or should we just go with it?
Yeah, a little background. You know, look, Alec obviously has had some cups of coffee in the major leagues and has done well. You know, has that unique sidearm delivery, unique arm slot, went to Gonzaga, you know, got the opportunity in 23 after doing some really good things at AA. And I think he's got a real chance to be a very, very important part of this bullpen, in 2024. 2025. I think the interesting thing is going to be just see where things shake out by the time we get to opening day. Padres are dealing with, injuries right now. Brian Hoeing being one of them, dealing with a shoulder. Sean Reynolds still in a walking boot, dealing with a stress reaction in his right foot. So it may open the door for Alec Jacob to, you know, grab a spot on the opening day roster. But I'll tell you what, he's been very, very good in the backfield. He was very good yesterday in his Cactus League debut. And I think you pair that with some of the success that he's had in the major league so far when he's got those opportunities. And I think he's got a really good shot to make this team for all those reasons. So good for Alec Jacob. And, one thing we talk about here is his off-speed pitches, which I think are really important. His changeup is great. You'll hear him talk about the sweeper. You'll hear him talk about his sinker and his four-seam fastball. You'll hear him talk about Ruben Niebla here. So he's a name to watch, I think, a guy who could have a bigger, more significant, more regular impact on this bullpen potentially than even what we've seen in years past, where he was kind of a guy that came up at times and contributed.
All right. Well, without further ado, Sammy Lev with Alec Jacob.
Looking at your numbers from a year ago, I mean, the off-speed stuff was really effective. So I want to talk about a couple of those pitches. Let's start with the changeup in particular. How do you feel like that played last year?
I felt really great about the changeup. I feel like that was probably my best pitch last year. I really just want to keep doing what I was doing with it last year. I'm not trying to change anything with that, you know, really just trying to perfect it and replace it, put it in the best place as possible.
With the sweeper in particular, another pitch that had a lot of success, what did you like about the way you used it a year ago?
Yeah, 24 felt like it wasn't quite as good as 23, actually. So I kind of, this offseason, kind of adjusted the sweeper a little bit, changed the grip, trying to get a little more vert on it. I think that's going to help me. I think it's going to play a little bit better. That's what the numbers are telling me. So I felt like it played good last year, but I wasn't getting the swing and miss that I wanted, so I'm trying to adjust a little bit.
You mentioned the adjustment with the sweeper heading into the offseason and heading into this spring. What else were you working on? What were the goals this offseason?
Yeah, I mean, always trying to get better, right? Like, always trying to get, like, improve on all the pitches and trying to get more consistent with everything. I think that's the biggest thing as a pitcher is consistency. Nothing like too major, really, you know, just trying to change, you know, shapes maybe a little bit here and there, trying to make myself a little bit more unconventional if possible. I think that's a big thing that I bring to the table, so just trying to find other ways to get guys off balance.
Speaking of unconventional, getting guys off balance, obviously you have a unique delivery, unique arm slot. What do you feel like that does to hitters, the benefit of having that type of delivery?
Yeah, I feel like a lot of times when I'll face a guy first time through, they're, you know, a little bit on the defensive end because they don't really know what to expect from me. So I think it's just providing a different look, providing something that you don't always see every day. I think I can kind of catch guys and put them in different difficult positions, and especially if I can stay on the attacking end.
As far as Ruben Niebla, Padres pitching coach, guys constantly rave about working with him. What's the impact Ruben's had on you?
Yeah, Ruben's been great. I mean, he's really just helped me become like a pro and like figure out how to be the best version of myself out there and like be that consistent guy wherever, like whenever the time calls, you know, whether it's the fourth inning or the ninth inning, whatever you need. Like, I think that's been a big thing for me. Obviously, there's a big jump from minor league baseball to big league baseball. And a lot of it can be a mindset thing. So I think that was a really big help for me.
What do you feel like the biggest adjustment has been? Because when you originally came up, you were mostly that year at Double A, and then you make a big jump. You're facing major league hitters, especially for somebody like yourself with the unique delivery arm slot. What was the biggest adjustment to face major league hitters?
I think it kind of was just that. Like, don't think of it as like it's the major leagues versus Double A. You know, this, like, if you execute your pitches and you do what you can do, like, you're going to get the same way that you do in Double A. It's just, you know, maybe the mistakes will be, you know, punished a little bit more. So I think that was a big thing for me, was don't like look at who's in that box and be intimidated by anybody. Just stay on the attacking end. I feel like I've been good with that, and I think that's led to a lot of success for me.
Getting back to the pitch mix, we talked about the changeup, sweeper. You throw a sinker, four-seam fastball. How did you feel about those two versions of the fastball last year, and what's your mindset with those coming into spring?
Yeah. So I felt like my four-seam played really well last year. I was actually really happy with it. And I felt like the sinker maybe I use it a little too much. I don't know. It's something that we're going to be playing around with this spring for sure, trying to get my like numbers or like usage numbers very like similar, sinker, four-seam, sweeper, and changeup, just trying to keep guys off balance as much as possible, you know, trying to be unpredictable. So I think that'll help me. I think my usages were pretty wide. There's a wide margin between the two. Sinker was much heavier than four-seam, so I think that's gonna be a big help for me this year.
All right, that was Alec Jacob with Sammy Lev. You can find all that great content from Sammy Lev at spring training at Sammy Lev on Twitter and then Instagram and then YouTube. He's got it everywhere, people. You have no excuse. Is your name Sammy Lev on YouTube or is it Sam Levitt?
I think the handle is Sammy Lev.
Okay.
I think if you search Sam Levitt, it should pop up. Though.
It should, yeah. I would think. There's not too many famous Sam Levitts out there. I don't know. How many Sam Levitts are, do you think,
there's,
out there, Sam?
I was thinking of Joseph Gordon-Levitt. For a second, I thought his name was Samuel Gordon-Levitt, but it was, no, Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
That was really funny.
Actually, it's so funny you say that about famous Sam Levitts, because there was a very famous Sam Levitt this past fall, Arizona State quarterback Sam Levitt.
That's
who went
true.
To the college football playoff, although we don't spell our last name the same way. He adds an A in there. But you would not believe the number of people this fall, as ASU was really good and made it to the playoff, you would not believe the number of people that texted me being like, I did a double take when they said Sam Levitt on the TV.
I did too. Yeah, I mean, so it was, I did too. I think I may even texted you, and then you said you were going to buy a jersey, but then we realized, you know, his name wasn't spelled
the
same.
I would do it. I would have done it had we had the spelled our last name the same way. Without the spelling, it's just a little off. Like, I get it. It's the same exact pronunciation, same name, essentially.
No, but it doesn't make sense. It's not your last name.
Yeah, I don't, you know, if we had the same spelling of the last name, I would have figured out a way somehow, some way to meet Sam Levitt.
It would have happened. I'm guaranteeing that would have happened. Two famous Sam Levitts in one place? I mean, we can't do that because what if... Never mind. All right. On the other side, we are going to talk a little bit about what happened at spring training, just briefly. And then Ben and Woods, you know, they were with Michael King today. And Michael King, as Sam said, is a guy who's looking at possibly top three Cy Young Award winners this year. So we'll hear from him and we'll talk about Michael King on the other side on 97.3 The Fan. If you love Mediterranean food, then you need to try... then you need to try Spiro's for authentic Mediterranean cuisine in Coronado or La Jolla for dining or takeout options. Visit spiroscuisine.com. Sammy and Scraby here. Gwyn should be here shortly. Chris back tomorrow. I did see a comment on the chat that made me laugh a little bit. They said part-time LO, and that did make me laugh. But no, Chris has not been canned, as he was also asked on the chat. So Chris will be back tomorrow. Everybody calm down.
I'm looking at the Spiro's menu right now.
I mean, I am 100% a Euro guy.
I'd get a lot of this.
Guy.
I'd get the lamb beef Euro, chicken Euro. I'd get the falafel.
Mm-hmm.
Get the Euro
the hummus,
fries.
The hummus?
I'm not a hummus guy, but I am a Baba Ganoush guy.
Save
they got Baba
that
Ganoush
clip.
On here. Got...
I'm not a hummus guy, but I'm a Baba Ganoush guy. I don't even know what Baba Ganoush is.
It's eggplant.
Oh.
Eggplant based. I don't see Baba Ganoush on here. They might not have it. That's okay, though.
They have a lot of stuff. Is that specifically Greek?
Ooh, Avgo Lemono soup.
That wasn't English, but sure.
Avgo Lemono. Love it. Gotta get the Spiros. Have I had Spiros in the ballpark? I think I have had it in the ballpark.
Well, the Scrabinator game, you had a little
right,
plate.
That's right. That's
plate.
Right. Yeah, I've had Spiros in the ballpark. I've not been to Spiros outside the ballpark. So I gotta get there. I love Coronado. Get me to Coronado.
Yeah, Coronado. The one that we broadcasted from last year was awesome. It's right across the bay. It was the same day that the Yankees came into town. So there was a ton of people walking over to the ferry to try to get over to the park. It was great. Zen has a new name for our show. Champagne and tie 10, which I think is kind of funny. Sammy, wherever Sammy goes, champagne flows, and then I ate a tie 10, which people still don't give me credit for, even though it did happen. So I appreciate when people actually give
me
credit
for it. Before we, and we'll get into the segment here in a second, but yeah. I want to share what we talked about during the break.
Oh,
because
yes.
It's so random,
yes, yes,
but so funny.
Yes.
So Adam Klug walks into the studio. I don't know. He's talking about whatever. He walks out. And for some reason in my brain...
He's passing by the window right now on his phone.
For some reason in my brain, I thought to myself, and I said this out loud to Scraby, I said, you know, if Adam were, like, an athlete,
yeah.
a player,
yeah.
like, the crowd would go, Klug.
Totally. Klug. It's like... there's so many guys that have that same sort of chant that happens, and it's like, come on, fans, come up with something better. Like, oh, for Freiermuth, Pat Freiermuth, it's Muth. But Klug is a funny one. We should just, every time, Sam, you and I are together and he walks by, we should just do that. And I'll have no idea what's happening.
We also wanted to know if Adam was in a frat.
I think he was. I just don't know which one. I was not in a frat.
We'll find out. I was not either.
I was not a frat guy. That is for sure. No frat guys over here. All right. So Bennett Woods, as you know, they are out in spring training in Peoria, Arizona, and they had the who's who of the Padres on their show today. So we're going to hit some traffic first, but on the other side of traffic, you're going to get Bennett Woods with Michael King. Everybody listen up, because Michael King, as Sam said, could be a top three Cy Young guy this year. So traffic, then Michael King.
Hey there, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a brand new show. It's called Money Moves. Follow and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
I know our next guest was down for a couple of days. It's the flu bug that kind of has hit a few guys, but he looks healthy now. He's back. And he is joining us here.
Michael King. Was it the flu that got you, or was it just the Arizona wind and air?
I don't think it was the Arizona wind and air. I was shivering for like 36 hours with like a hoodie and sweatshirt. It wasn't fun.
But oh, my God.
We're good.
Everything's good now.
Yeah, I got a little congestion, but you can probably hear it, so... Maybe work some magic on the sound bites there to make me sound a little cooler.
Paulie is the wizard.
Yeah, he hasn't been able to work the magic for us yet.
No,
so,
not yet, but it's fine. It's fine, man. It's good to see you again. You know, last year sitting down with you, getting to know you a little bit. Man, what a season for you. I mean, it was a delight to watch. And you know, we've been talking about it all off season, and it's like when Michael King is on, he is the nastiest pitcher in baseball, dude. And it was a lot of fun to watch last year. We all expected, you know, really good things. Were you? I don't want to ask if you were surprised by how good your season went, but were you?
I guess I can't say I was surprised. Obviously, I tried to put all the work in that
100%.
I can do, and I set hefty goals for myself every year. I actually came up short of my 180 inning goal in the regular season, and then I wanted to get to 200.
That was a crazy goal.
Playoffs. Come on now. so now it's a 200 inning goal in the regular season. So I'm still trying to get to those levels. I had a great support staff with the other starters around me. Ruben was obviously great for me. Higgy was awesome for me coming in. So I had a lot of guys that kind of molded me into what I did last year.
How different though now? Because last year when we talked to you, you were introducing yourself to a new team, wanted to prove yourself as a full-time starter. It's very different this year around. You know, they're expecting you to be part of that starting rotation, and obviously those goals are now more realistic coming back. So how different is this spring for you?
Definitely a little, just because I feel like I have a spot on the team. I feel like I can assume more of a leadership role. We have that fifth spot open and a lot of guys that are, one, similar to me, but two, are guys that are in my in the same category as me, like Stephen Kolick coming from a relief role. I know Brito is kind of in that same position where he was a reliever for us last year. So there are guys that are making that transition that I did last year. So I'm trying to just be a guidance for them and see how good our fifth spot can be this year.
You know, I think everybody was kind of wringing their hands in the off season, you know, with the potential of you going into ARB. And I saw you on a podcast. I can't remember whose podcast it was.
Kluber.
And Kluber was asking you about the process, and you know, you, I thought you handled it really well. I mean, I, you know, you're like, yeah, this could happen. And, you know, we were kind of kicking around. What might one say to a Michael King in arbitration? Like, you're too good, and your hair is too good, and your teeth are, his teeth are too white, and he is.
Tyler, shut up
you're,
over there.
You're too much of a too He's much of a bulldog
too much of
on
the community
mound.
With this foundation. It's really kind of annoying, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, this we need a little bit oh, more dirt. Get your uniform a little more dirty.
Stuff's a little too nasty, well, actually.
But I thought your
making the other players look bad.
You guys are making me feel good.
I thought your perspective of when you said, "Look, you know, this is the way it is because." The thread in there will be, well, we converted you, we kind of don't know, you know, I mean, I think that you've proven that and they know that and you ended up avoiding it anyway, but yep. What's that process like for you? You're like, all right, I may have to go sit in a room, with this. It can't be fun.
Yeah. That was a conversation I had with my agent because there are obviously the players that have okay years and they can just for how bad your season was. And he was like, you won't be sitting in that room and getting ripped apart by whoever it is, the Padres.
I don't know. They've never done it under AJ.
So I don't think they know who it would be.
And so what he thought their main argument was going to be is just because I was coming from a lower salary. I was coming from a reliever salary.
Right.
And that's partially why I was so stern on the number that I wanted to get to.
Setting lofty goals.
But it's also just like you want to break the system a little bit for the next reliever turn starter.
Sure.
And it's like relievers get paid less than starters. It's a fact. And I didn't want to then continue to get screwed by getting paid like a reliever the whole time because I started as a reliever. So the argument was like he already got screwed once for being paid like a reliever. Don't let it happen again and let him get paid like a starter.
Yeah.
So kind of the principle of the matter. Interesting. We're talking to Michael King. Padres, definitely starting pitcher
starting
here.
Starting pitcher. Whoa.
On 97th Street. Right, is there anything you're working on changing in terms of repertoire, or is it simply just refining what worked so well for you last year?
Honestly, it's still refining. I added that fifth pitch in like the little gyro slider I had last year. Didn't throw it very often, so I want to throw that a little bit more. But I also want to – my main thing is to be – I feel like with both fastballs, I can command the fastball in four quadrants. With the slider, sweeper, and changeup, I really only have like the strike pitch and the two-strike pitch. I want to be able to throw the changeup to both sides of the plate. I want to be able to throw the sweeper actually elevated a little bit and for swing and miss away off the plate. I want to be able to throw it into lefties, away to lefties. There's so many different things that I need to feel comfortable with before I can add another pitch. And I felt like the little gyro slider was big for me just to steal some weird strikes or get soft contact. And now it's really just refining the command of all those pitches.
Do you, I would watch your two seam and I just go, my God, I mean, there's nobody's coming close to this thing. It was a marvel. That game he threw against the Dodgers, it was just like it was a work of art. I mean, it really was. I think about it all the time. And you know, do you chase velo? Are you in the off season? You know, like I would love to add a tick here and there. I'm going to get in my legs more, whatever it may be. You know, strengthen my core and try to get an extra tick on the fastball.
Like to have an extra tick.
Sure.
I don't know if there's anybody out there that wants to lose velo or. Are we good? Sorry. My main thing with my fastball velocity is to make sure that I have enough. I know I'm not going to be that Dylan Cease throwing 100 in the
seventh
inning. Freaking nut. But if I have the mid-90s fastball but can still keep the movement of it and then use that to have my other pitchers get some deception, then it's fine. So my thing is actually more just a mechanical thing. I need to have that late hand speed. I need to hide the ball. I need to command it and get into my front hip. And those things, I know when they're there, the velocity will be mid-90s. And I know that as of now, I'll knock on wood, it's helped me through it's serviced me.
Michael, I wanted to ask you about one of your new teammates, Nick Pivetta, who I assume you saw in the AL East when he was pitching for Boston a few times. He's only been here a little bit of time, but what are your first impressions? I know he's supposedly kind of an intense competitor out there. What have you seen so far?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, playing against him, you see that. There's been a lot of the position players on the team that I was on say they hate facing him just because he's that like ultra competitor. He's the one that's grunting on a changeup. He's the one that's like strutting around the mound. I call it like prime Scherzer, which Scherzer's on like his 20K games. He's like strutting around the mound like he's about to. It's like a feral beast,
like a madman,
And it was kind of funny because yesterday he threw a live BP.
We were there.
Right there.
We saw it.
And he's doing it.
Chirping. It was Tim and Toddy. And they were chirping. It was unbelievable.
It's
it was
fun.
It was like theater.
Joe said, and I totally agree with him, he can't wait for a start day because he wants to drink like three Red Bulls and get on the same wavelength as him and be like strutting around with Pivetta.
Yeah.
Because it's like it's a fun start day now for a guy like that.
And we talked to Joe Musgrove yesterday. We're talking to Michael King right now. And we were asking Joe, too, about, you know, the losing Higgy. I mean, we loved Higgy. He was the best. This is a great dude, a great human being, and a great catcher, and had a monster year, contributed a ton for you. So now you're going to have to work with other catchers as well. Do you think about that a lot, or do you say, hey, man, this is what it is, and we got to get on the same page, we got to do it quick?
Definitely the latter. Obviously, Higgy was great. I was in a locker room with him, I think, for 8 straight years, which is kind of fun. And he's such a great dude.
He's a trip. You know him,
so he's great to have in the locker room. He definitely missed. But, I mean, I worked with Campy last year. I actually don't think I worked with Diaz in a game last year. He caught a couple bullpens of mine. Sully, I worked with a bunch. So it's like I already have a decent
rapport
with them. But I also think that a guy like Higgy, his – how he commands a staff trickles down to the next guys.
Sure.
I thought it was huge for even like an Ethan Salas to see how he worked, because you know Salas is coming soon, and it's like you have this veteran guy that knows how to handle a staff, that can call a game, that can separate offense and defense and go out there and have an awesome season. So I think a lot of those guys probably learn from a guy like Higgy, and now I just can't wait to work with them.
Did any of them learn how to play The Trooper by Iron Maiden? Because that's what I'm going to miss the most about Higgy, is talking guitars with him in the clubhouse. Like he's the only big leaguer I've ever met that likes heavy metal like I do. Literally the only one. Everybody else likes country or rap or whatever.
Yep.
And that's why I fell in love with the dude, because I love heavy metal too, and he's a guitar player, and nobody else. Who's going to shred in the clubhouse this year? Quiet. It's just gonna be quiet.
It's gonna be quiet. It's gonna be dead silent.
Dead silent.
Oh man. Last thing for me, Michael, and this is probably the tough one at the end. Last year of arbitration.
Oh.
So
boy.
Obviously, we don't know what happens after 2025.
We would like to offer you a contract right now.
Well, yeah,
for Woods. Right, for Better Woods and
I mean, if we could, you start the foundation. You're putting some roots down in San Diego. We'd love to see you stay. You know,
that's our pitch.
You had to be a little bit flexible, even to get the 1 year arbitration deal done. We saw some of the funny things that had to do with that contract. We don't know what the Padres in terms of financially, but have there been any talks, any discussion about anything long term yet?
There has not been anything.
Nothing yet.
Nope. Obviously, I love San Diego. Team's great. Front office is great. But
sounds good. See, he's back. Anything. He's coming back. That's it. He said it right here.
Well, all we can hope is that the price tag keeps going up and up and up this year. As Michael King has another
that's what he wants
fantastic
too.
Season.
Yeah.
So, you know, make it hurt.
Thank you. And if I don't get a contract, I'll just come work for you guys.
That's fine.
Fair enough.
Works for us, man.
Thanks so much. Good luck. Anything new on the foundation? I keep seeing your posts. You guys are doing a lot of good work.
Padres have been great. We're now in heavy discussions. I think we finalized today, but I don't want to say it, for our foundation event this year.
Okay.
We're also going to do a little something at the ballpark, so it's going to be a great season.
We will stay tuned for that. Thank you, Michael. Good
awesome.
To see you
Thanks,
again,
guys.
As always. Michael King, Padres starting pitcher, joining us.
That was Michael King. He was great. And I just...
Don't say it. Don't say it.
I should have liked... yeah, okay. We're good. We're good. That's just a little bit of an inside joke.
Great interview. Great interview with...
with Michael King. When we get back, I promise we won't be giggling like this, but we will talk about Michael King's contract and a possible extension here on 97.3.
Listeners out there, you're never going to know what we were laughing about, and you're not going to know about it when we get back.